Today is International Pregnancy and Infant Loss Remembrance Day. Every year in this country, around 500 babies are stillborn or die before they're a month old. Martin Finn and Gerry O'Grady Finn from Middleton in County Cork have two children, 5-year-old Maya and 14-month-old Isaac. But on the 29th of December 2010, the couple's daughter Talia died soon after she was born. She had anencephaly, a fatal disorder in which the baby's brain fails to develop fully. Martin and Gerry have been telling Talia's story to our Southern editor, Pascal Sheehy, beginning with the day when they got her diagnosis after Gerry's 20-week scan.
You know, it was such a strange day, the day when we got the news. It was so surreal that, like, Martin and I, at the end of the day, genuinely discussed if we were dreaming. It's impossible to say that feeling of when somebody tells you your child is going to die, but your child is kicking and your child is dancing, and you can't connect the two.
It's completely, everything's turned on its head, and suddenly you're in darkness, and you just have to find a way out of it, really. And but you know, we just decided that we want to, you know, it's still our baby. We want to celebrate this baby. We want to love this baby, and the baby has a short life cycle.
But from that point on, I mean, where do you begin to deal, you know, with news like that?
I actually didn't think it was possible to cry this much. I thought, I didn't know the human body had that much capacity for tears, because I seemed to be just constantly crying. And it is, it's like, for a mother to be told that, it defies everything. It defies all kind of what you think are the laws of nature, you know, because at a cellular level, your body is programmed to nurture this child and take care of your newborn baby. And getting that news and losing your newborn baby, it seems to kind of violate nature, really. Mm. And, you know, you're that programmed to look after your child.
And when she was born then, just after Christmas in 2010, describe that, and describe the time you had with Talia.
The first, like, when I was in labour, the last stages of labour with Talia, I was on my own for a little while, just for a few minutes at one point, and it was dark, and Talia was moving. And she was so vibrant, you know, she was, there was still a bit of, maybe this is going to turn out differently. You have a tiny bit of denial. Maybe she'll defy the odds. And but I did say to her, you know, your little life cycle is coming to an end now. And it's time. So I kind of had said that to her. And she was just utterly still. But it was so peaceful. My biggest fear was I'd have to watch her suffer. And like, yeah, we used to say, oh, please, Jesus, don't let her suffer. Just make her passage peaceful. And when I went into labour, I texted all our friends and family and said, look, could you say a prayer that it's peaceful? Just let her time be peaceful. And it was beautiful. She never took a breath. And it's just like her
heartbeat was every 10 seconds or something,
yeah,
like that.
It was just kind of starting to wind down. But it was, there was this profound sense of grace, I suppose, in the room. This feeling, I never felt that before, and I don't think I will again. Just her, you know, this is her little life cycle concluded, and it was in the most beautiful possible way. And we held her and put on her little hat and her cardigan that was made especially for her. And she was our baby, and we held her and loved her. And it was very special, but very, very sad. When they confirmed, yes, her heartbeat has stopped, it was like a bit of a, you know, it was a torrent then of tears, really.
Well, everybody in the hospital was absolutely amazing. And, you know, they give you the same treatment, which is great. So we were prepared, I think, when it came to the time. We knew what was happening. We knew the ins and outs. And
how do you deal with a loss like that, though, Gerry?
As I said, it's you have to break time down into really little incrementals that you can't go by a day at a time, because it's a huge infinity when you're suffering that much. So you just say this second and this second. And I used to say, oh, that's another second gone now. And I'm another second closer to healing. I suppose one of the strangest and hardest things we did when I was pregnant was that we looked at a couple of graveyards, because we said, this is going to need to be very special for our girl. And we looked at a few, and there's a lovely graveyard down by the sea here in Whitegate. And I think that was really healing. I'd used to walk 3.5 miles every day down by the sea, and I would feel closer to her. And I would walk to her, and I would, there was a profusion of colour on the grave. I would have flowers, and that helped. All those
things. That was
a,
good for you.
Wasn't it? It was a goal. What I'm going to do now is, I cannot mother my child the way I want to. So I'll, you know, make sure the grave looks beautiful. I'll walk down to her. I'll talk to her on the way down. That was what I did. And how can I honour her memory? And how can I make her, like I said, a vibrant part of our lives? We had started when I was pregnant, like with Mia, to say, okay, now your little sister is going to heaven. She's going to be, we know we're very lucky because we get an angel in our family. Not everybody has an angel. So she took it sort of all in her stride. And when I was pregnant, we'd even do things like, she did finger painting all over my tummy, this really Jackson Pollock style abstract artwork. And so she always accepted that now Talia has gone to heaven. So afterwards, I had to kind of not fall apart for her sake too, and continue with, yes, she's there. Mommy is sad and Daddy is sad and Mia is sad. We miss her very much. But there are great things about her. Look, she's sending us rainbows. And it's all the time trying. What I really wanted to do is, Talia is going to have been a positive part of our lives, and I can't allow myself to be swallowed up by grief and negative thoughts and bitterness. I wanted to honour her by doing as best as I can to heal.
You know, life isn't normal for a long time. And I mean, I'm an entertainer essentially, but I play in a wedding band and I have entertained people, and, you know, trying to get into that mode as well. Like, you know, I can't just sit at a computer and, you know, be, you know, so you have to, you just have to process it.
And what would you say to somebody who is going through or has gone through what you've been through very, very recently? What would you say to them?
I think that I would definitely say to somebody, you will get through it. Your life will go on. And believe that. Believe that your child can be this beautiful, positive memory in your life. And just hold on to that belief. And yes, it's awful now. It is awful. But just do it like every second. Just let each second go by and look for your little bit of peace in the day. And every little bit of peace is a little bit closer to healing.
Mm. I think it's a blessing the way Mia and Isaac are a blessing, and the way our meeting is a blessing, you know. So they're things that happened in our lives, and they're part of our lives. And, you know, I think I'm, you know, proud that we did the right thing for us, and that we went the right way about it, and that we were able to come to this point. And you know, there's no regrets, to be honest. Yeah. How about you?
None whatsoever.
Yeah.
And that's Martin Finn and Gerry O'Grady Finn from Middleton giving their story about how hard it can be to be a parent at the hardest of all times, talking to Pascal Sheehy there. My apologies to their son, Mia. Maya, as I called him. Not everyone in MIA in Cork is called Maya. To Mia and also his brother, Isaac. Some numbers, I won't give you the numbers now, but if you want to Google some organisations that might be of help to you if you're affected or might be affected by what you heard there, if you Google these organisations, A Little Lifetime Foundation, the Irish Sudden Infant Death Association, and the Irish Stillborn Birth and Neonatal Death Association. And we'll put details and telephone numbers and websites for those organisations on the website and tweet them in a while.